want to use some scripture this morning for just a few minutes. It's very familiar to you, and it's out of the Old Testament. I had a call this week from my good friend Stanley McCoy, and he said, I just finished watching your sermon, and he said, you didn't tell where the scripture was that you were using. And I said, well, I'm pretty guilty of that. I have that happen quite often, that people say to me, you didn't tell us where you were reading from this morning. And so I told him, I said, I'm not sure I even know where I was reading from when I used that to you. But I did. I was just giving back. This morning, so I'm going to be reading out of the third chapter of the book of Exodus. And if you like to have your, if you have your Bibles, you'd like to follow along with me, well, I'm going to be using a portion of the Word of the Lord. When the Lord was giving the call to Moses as to what he had in store for him. And if I have a thought that I would want you to remember this morning, there are probably a couple of things. One is that sometimes pretty serious things have to happen in our lives for us to get down to business with the Lord. And that's unfortunate. Because you and I as his children should be paying attention to him all the time. But we're guilty of getting a little bit careless and taking for granted, just as Joyce mentioned this morning about the beauty of nature, that we take for granted things. And we go merrily on our way and get, if we're not awful careful, this attitude that we do pretty much what we want to, when we want to, and how we want to. And God every once in a while has some ways to rein us in and check us in and be sure that we understand he's still in control of everything. Children of Israel, and this just doesn't happen overnight. Please don't misunderstand me there. The children of Israel, over a period of years, had just progressively gotten themselves into more trouble. They had been taken captive by the Egyptians and were serving the Egyptians in servitude. And after the Lord had continued in one sense to bless them, by the same token, they were still down here and things were, in their lives, were pretty rough. I tell people every once in a while that don't you ever think for a second that just because the Lord saves you that all your troubles and everything are going to go away, because that isn't the case. As a matter of fact, if you really get in and work for the Lord and serve the Lord, you may find out that you've probably got more troubles than you can even imagine. And there'll be a different kind of trouble, but you're not going to be exempt as a child of God. And there are some times that as his children that we do have troubles that he brings upon us, because it's one of the ways that he gets our attention. Children of Israel had been down in Egypt for many years. They'd been continuing to see their quota of brick making increase, and they had finally reached the point to where that they got serious enough about it that they began to talk to the Lord. And often I find people, whenever that their problems get to a certain level, they finally decide it's time to turn to the Lord. And that is unfortunate that we wait till that happens. But we do. We need to understand that he's there for us all the time, not just when we are in trouble. But when the troubles got to be enough, they got serious with the Lord, and they began to pray and ask the Lord to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. Now, the Lord heard their prayers, and the Lord answered their prayers. He did not answer their prayers instantaneously. He did not immediately take care of all of their problems, but he started that process, is that he was going to answer their prayer, and he would do it in his time frame and not ours and not theirs. Many times we want, I'm guilty of this myself, and I pray to the Lord, I want the Lord to do something, I want him to do it right now. You know, I'm not talking about 10 years down the road. Though there are a few things I talk to him about that I know are down the road. And I mean that. I do. I realize there are some things that I'm never going to see. And I think oftentimes of a dear neighbor that we had as I was growing up. And I heard it many times over at the old Macedonia church whenever that my mom and dad would take Lee and I over there. We'd go over there and visit sometimes on Sunday night to visit church. And I'd hear Nina get up. She was our neighbor, Nina Pippins. And Nina would get up sometime during the service whenever they gave the opportunity for people to testify or something. And Nina would get up invariably and she'd say, "I want you to pray for Victor Parson and his boys." You know, well, everybody there knew who Victor Parson was and they knew who his boys were because there's only two of us. And that would just embarrass me to no end, you know. I mean, she got up and called us out, you know. And effectively, she just well went ahead and said, "I want you to pray for Kent and Lee." No. Nina never lived to see any of the three of us saved. But there was not a one of us after that the Lord saved us did not remember that Nina many, many times had gotten up and asked for people to pray for us. Now, I pray for some things, Stanley, that I'm reasonably sure I'm not going to be here to see happen. I know that. Just by mere age alone, years. And to give you an example, I pray for some of these kids. You know, I really do. I'm never going to live probably to see that time. Probably. I don't know that. I don't know how long I'm going to live. Neither do any of you. But there's no reason for me not to be praying for our little kids. We need to be praying for them. We should always be praying for them. We need to pray for older people too. And there may be some things happening in their lives that we're not going to see. Well, the children of Israel have been praying and praying and praying. And the Lord finally said, "I'm going to answer their prayers. I'm going to send them a man down there to lead them up out of the land of Egypt. I'm going to take them into a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to take them into a land and I'm going to give it to them. They're not going to go in there and earn it. They're not deserving of it, but I'm going to give it to them." Sometimes we get to the point to where that we think we deserve things. And we as God's children are the worst. Lost people don't care about what I'm talking about. They're not paying any attention to it. It's God's people that are presumptive and sometimes get to the point to where they think, "Well, I'm entitled to that because I'm one of God's children." Let me tell you something. God is gracious to us, and He's good to us, and He is to me. And I'm just thankful that He's as patient as He is, and that He loves me enough, and He loves you enough, that He allows us, and He blesses us many times. But it's not because that we've earned it or that we're deserving. It's because of His goodness and His gracefulness. So the children of Israel, after they had prayed, the Bible says, "Moreover," now this is the Lord speaking unto Moses, "Moreover," He said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and unto a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them." The Lord is saying to Moses, "I've seen all these things. I know all these things, and here's what I'm going to do." I want you to understand this. It's important sometimes that we understand what the Lord is doing and what He's wanting of us. "Now therefore, behold the cry of the children of Israel." I've read that. "Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh's, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Lord says, Moses, I'm going to send you down there. You're the one that I'm going to send out there, and you're going to lead the people up out of the land of Egypt. You're going to lead them out of the land of bondage. You're going to lead them into this country that I've promised to give unto their forefathers. You're going to be the man. And Moses said, who am I? Who am I that I should be the one who would go before the Pharaoh? Who am I the one that should go before the highest power of the land and speak unto him? Who am I to lead this people up out of the land of Egypt? Let me tell you, sometimes the Bible says very clearly that he is that is exalted shall be abased, and he that is abased shall be exalted. In other places, let no man think more highly of himself than he ought. We sometimes get to the point to where that we think we're doing a pretty good job. We get to where we think that we're just going to do what we want to, how we want to, and when we want to, only to find out that God's got a different plan out there for us. Moses recognized truly who he was. And he said, who am I, Lord, that I should be the one to do this? And the Lord said, you know what? I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. When Stanley called me the other night, we were talking. We had a rather lengthy conversation. I'm sure he wouldn't mind me sharing this with you. But we were talking, and I said, you know, Stanley, I never cease to be amazed at the miracle that God performs every time I stand to preach. That he can take the words that I say, and he can apply them to every single heart of every person that's there, just as they need them in their lives. And that's a miracle. I don't know whether you people think about that or not. And maybe sometimes, maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, he's preaching to somebody else here. He's not preaching to me. I hope that doesn't happen too often. Sometimes I hope that you listen and you think, uh-oh, he's got me in his sights this morning. He's talking to me. Now, the reason I can say that is because I've heard other preachers, and there have been times, Dan, when I thought they were preaching to me. I thought, oh, that old boy, he knows a little more about me than I thought he did. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's not him that knows it. God's the one who knows it. And God knows how to take his word and apply it to every single heart that's here this morning. That's a miracle to me. And I'm so thankful that he can do that, and he does that. And sometimes I think we get to the point to where that we realize that God can take us and use us if we will allow him to. And he wants to. He didn't just save us to come in here and warm a pew on Sunday morning. He didn't just save you to have you come in here and say, well, we had X number of people in church this morning or in the Sunday school. You know, we keep a board up here. I would say probably the greatest percentage of you don't even look at it to see what it says most of the time. So it doesn't mean a lot. It doesn't mean a lot anyway. I could see 400 up there and still not mean that anybody is here and was saying, Lord, hear my sin. I wish it said 400. I'd much rather see 400 than I did say 40. I think that's what I saw a number up there as I just glanced over a second ago. But anyway, but you know what? God can take each one of us and can use us if we will allow him to. And the Lord said, Moses, you're going to be the man that I'm going to take and to send down there. And God said unto Moses, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Moses said, Lord, you know, I go down there and I say to those people, God has sent me down here to deliver you, to lead you up out of the land of Egypt. He says, who am I supposed to tell them that you are? Now, I want you to listen to this morning, because I very seldom did I ever hear anybody call him by this name. And many times that I've used it, most of the time people don't even register that that's who I'm talking about. I am. I am that I am. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. How many of you here when you pray say, I am? No. How many of you didn't even know that was what his name is according to the word of God? I'm always amazed. I love every once in a while to read about these scholars. Or not read about them. Read what they have to say. They're so smart that most of the time I don't understand what they're saying. But sometimes they're so smart they're dumb. And you know, I love when they get in there and they say, well, you know, in this language, why, his name is this, and in this language, his name is something else. I rarely ever hear one of them read or write or read where he says, his name is I Am. But that's what God said in his word, that his name was, is I Am. You go down there and tell him, I am. It's in there. I am that I am. And so, you know, that's no different than people are today. There's, well, you know, I question, you know, some of these things. It's like people questioning whether or not God calls a man to preach or not. Well, there are some of you who probably think, well, he just decided he wanted to do it. Let me tell you something this morning right now. And if you don't ever remember another thing I say this morning, don't you ever get in your head that I decided to be a preacher. Because I'm going to guarantee you one thing, that would have been one of the last things that I would have chosen for my occupation. I can think of a lot of other things I'd have rather been and wanted to be. I had in my mind, I thought I had my career all planned out. You know, I understand how people get disappointed when things happen in their lives and their changes are made, because that's exactly what happened to me. I just already had it planned out. I knew where I wanted to coach my first years. I knew where I wanted to go from that school to this one, which was going to be a progression up the line and where ultimately I wanted to end up. Well, I never even got to the first school. God had a whole different plan for my life. I'm not sorry for what I can stand here this morning and tell you that I'm thankful that God has been so good to me. But it wasn't the way that I had it planned. It wasn't what I had in mind that I was going to do. God sometimes so will take those people. His word says, you know, he takes the foolish. And I'm a prime example to confound the wise. He takes the base things of the earth. He takes those people who are the offscouring of the earth to do his work. And I can certainly attest to that, you know. And God said, moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and they shall hearken to thy voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. I'm going to stop right there. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm out of time. But I want to tell you what happens, because I think this is so good, and this is so typical. You know, they prayed for deliverance. Oh, Lord, get us out of this situation. God says, okay, I've heard your prayers. I'm going to answer. Send somebody to lead us up out of the land. Lead us. God says, all right, I'll send you somebody down there. And he does. He says, no. We're not this old boy. We don't want him. And so finally, Moses is able to convince him. And he says, now what I need to have you do, I need to have you gather the elders together. And we need to go out here and have a prayer meeting. But we got to go get permission from the king, to be able, the Pharaoh, to do this. So they go to the Pharaoh, and they get permission. They go out here, and they go out here, and they have a prayer meeting. They come back, and the authorities have said, wait a minute, you know what? These people got too much time on their hands. Now see, the people were afraid of God's people because they had been multiplied. God had blessed them. Their herds had increased. Their financial base was strong. Their numbers were good. And God had blessed them. So the Egyptians, they get a little worried about, these people are getting to be too big and too powerful, and we need to keep them subdued. Yeah. And then when they find out they've got time to go out here and have a 3-day prayer meeting, they say, whoa, they got too much time on their hands. Let's give them more work to do. Let's give them more work to do. Lord, I'll tell you what. You get a child of God convinced to do a little something from the Lord, and the Lord puts them to work. That, well, oh, that's too much. Back it off, buddy. No more. I'm willing to do just a little bit, Lord, but don't overload me now. So the Egyptians increased their burden, and the children of Israel then said, look what happened. We prayed, God heard us, and he sent us the wrong man down here because all he's done has got us in more trouble. I want to leave this thought with you because my time is up. You may think I'm your trouble. You may think sometimes I'm the one that picks on you. You may be the one thinking, well, he's got me in mind. I want to tell you just what Elijah said unto Obadiah when he came out there. And Obadiah said, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Elijah said, I've not troubled Israel, but you and your father. It wasn't Obadiah, it was Ahab that came out there. Obadiah had already gone back and brought Ahab out there. He said, I'm not the trouble. I'm not the one who's caused you the trouble, but you and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the Lord, are the trouble. It's not me. They thought, oh, Elijah had been the trouble because he had declared the 3 years drought. And so they were blaming him for it. It wasn't Elijah. That was the Lord. And the Lord had a reason in it. Let me tell you something. Most of the time, the person that gives Kent Parson the most trouble, not any one of you, not a single one of you, it's Kent Parson. And there are times whenever I do get myself in trouble. There are times whenever that I'm like the children of Israel. Lord, you got the wrong man. Wrong place. Wrong situation. But I'll guarantee you the Lord knows what he's doing a lot better than I know. And he knows a lot better in your life than you know. And we just need to remember, we're going to pray for something. We may get exactly what the Lord wants us to have, but it may not be what we think we should have. Well, a big hand on the clock says 6, and the little one says between 10 and 11, so that means my time's up.